Glenn, we have a great sponsor, nextdoor.com.au. Makes you connect with your neighbours that you may not know. People are lonely. People need babysitting.
But this is what we don't have in 2019, a sense of community. And with this, you have people with you, helping you. You're helping them.
It's a way to connect. Nextdoor.com.au.
Is there anything better than helping out your neighbour?
No. Oh, there are some things better than that. Having a nice hamburger or...
donuts.
Making sweet, sweet love. Yeah,
but after you've had the donuts and made sweet, sweet love, then...
connecting with your neighbours.
Is the number one thing to do.
How can you do that? Get onto nextdoor.com.au.
Absolutely.
And get involved, everyone. Connect with the neighbours. Hey, my teenage son told me the other day that eventually the alphabet is going to get outdated and replaced by emojis.
That's his claim?
He might have been talked about in class, or he's got a few. He goes to a big government school, and a few of the teachers are quite mavericks in their opinions. The guy who teaches finances, it sounds hilarious. He just goes off on tangents about his
own. What year is he?
Year 10. So you can imagine the classic teacher who's been there forever. And
yeah,
he's just going
fight a fancy.
Yeah, and I was going to spread a bit of my philosophy to the kids here, that kind of thing. But it might have been him, might have been his teacher. But and then my 10-year-old said, "So is that going to include like license plates, for example?" And then I said, "Imagine if you're in a hit and run, and then you go, and the cops go, 'Who ran you over?' Oh, I saw the license plate. Hang on, it was a smiley face, poo with a monkey." Was the poo smiling? Yeah, the poo was smiling. Okay, I think we think you know who that is. But I don't think that's actually going to happen, is it? Emojis replacing.
You know what I find frustrating is, if I have a friend of mine who thinks that the more emojis he puts, the more exciting that it gets. You go, when there's more than one or two, you stop looking at them. When there's one aptly placed, you go, okay, that's good. But when he goes, oh, we're going to have a fun time, then he'll do two rows.
Yeah, I know. Thumbs up. My kids do, but they're kids. But when someone sends you the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Do you do that?
I do that.
You do that, thumbs up, yeah. But you know what perplexed me for a little bit? My mother-in-law would send me, she'd go, "Thanks for the lovely meal tonight," and three of these things. Now, it's actually someone praying, but my eyes aren't good. I thought it was three penises. Why is Betty sending me three doodles? That's a bit weird.
No, they send it. I think it's an eggplant or something for a penis, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Right. There are things that I don't know. I can't think of any right now, but where you just don't have emojis for, and you go. So then you Google them, and they do exist. Most things exist, and then you.
We looked up the most popular ones, and it is smiley face,
sunny day,
a crying face or laughing face. A lot of them are faces, and then the heart and so thumbs up gets in there too in the top 10.
Excuse me, I'm yawning.
Is there a yawning emoji? There must be a yawning emoji, surely.
All the faces to me look the same.
Yeah, I know. You got to look really closely.
Hang on. You've sent me a bit of a. Does that means you're mad?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? Or am I crazy? Who's crazy here?
But it is like that thing where different people have different interpretations of the emoji too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that story. I know where there's an urban myth about, someone thought lol, which means laugh out loud, was also lots of love. And so the lady would say, "I'm sorry to hear about your mother dying, lol." That meant lots of love, not laugh out loud.
Well, I did think it was laugh out.
It's laugh out loud. Most people
laugh out loud. Lol. But I also thought it was lots of love.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go.
I worked with a director once and he thought ciao meant thanks.
Oh, so he would say ciao. Ciao is one of those words where people just say it and I don't think they know.
Ciao.
Ciao means goodbye, doesn't it?
Well, I think it does.
Ciao.
Ciao, Bella. So he'd go, we'll start filming in a couple of minutes. Ciao. Hang on, where are you going? You're going home.
Grazie, I think, is thank you in Italian.
That's what
he's
thinking.
Grazie.
Yeah, you got your Italian references wrong.
Ciao, man.
It's like a friend of mine who, a woman came over and she was, I don't know where she was from. No, I do know. And she started sort of speaking with an accent. And then he responded in Italian. And it was really embarrassing. And then he walked off. And I went, I'm sorry about that. It must be, quite embarrassing. She goes, well, I don't know what he said. I'm French. So he was, she was French.
Sacre bleu. When you hear people speaking in different languages, it is very impressive. Isn't it?
I mean, I was in Rome with Rob Sitch and he was speaking fluent Italian.
Was he?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
And it's great to
Does he speak French as well? Probably speaks a bit of French.
Probably a bit of French, probably.
I know his partner Jane Kennedy loves France, so I assume she speaks a bit of French.
Yeah, they're well travelled. I speak a bit of Bendigo.
Bendigo, but I speak drunk.
Yeah, fluent a bit drunk. Of Kalgoorlie.
Hey, going, mate? Mm. What are you doing? What are you doing over there? Well, my brother speaks, Glenn, the one who lives overseas, he speaks like
this. How many?
Oh, he's a fluent French, Italian, some what? German. Yeah, he's fluent. French is very good. I told you once he ran up to get a hire car for me and I went to pick it up and the woman goes, you spoke such good French on the phone. I said, yes, well, my brother.
Yeah. Can you speak some now for me?
Yes.
Oh, look, I don't like to, you know.
Yeah, yeah, French, Italian. He understands a lot of Italian because his wife's mother's Italian Swiss, so they speak in Italian and German too. Because
there would come a crossover point where you're not deciphering it through English, where you are within the language.
Yeah, but he's still that always amazes me about people doing comedy, like Ivan Araguista, who's a Venezuelan comic, lives in Australia, and does English he does stand up in English. But I've done a few panel shows with him, and he said it is quite hard to, because he thinks in Spanish.
So he's still in that. He's still thinking in the.
But my brother said he thinks in English. He doesn't think.
So he never is never a crossover point.
No, my brother he thinks in English, but he dreams in French.
Sacre bleu. And you just remember old jokes.
Yeah, I just remember old jokes. It's my big skill.
Well, you know,
it's a skill.
It's a skill. So let's.
Show you some music.
Yeah, use some of those skills.
Right now.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Okay, well, welcome to the podcast.
Somehow Related. Hope you're sitting in a comfortable position, or you might be walking. You might be, where would you, I think most people listen to it in bed.
No, walking, a commute, it's a good commuter thing to do. A lot of people listen to podcasts on trains and in cars. I know, I listen to it when I'm going for a walk or driving to a gig or something.
If you are on a public transport, that guy just opposite you.
He's listening too, yeah. or he's one of our fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You never know. So
two things that don't seem related that are related.
Yeah, let's get our topics. Hit us, Sam.
Doctors and video games.
Two of your favourite topics.
Sure, doctors. Well, as you get older, you go to more and more doctors. Doctors, plenty of doctor jokes, aren't there, going around? Can you think of one off the top of your head? Doctor, I feel like a billiard ball. Yeah, shut up, just get at the end of the queue. Classic.
Oh, what's the other one? The guy goes back to get his results.
Oh, and he goes, it's a terrible, terrible. There's some good news and some bad news.
The bad news is you're going to die.
Yeah.
The good news is you're going to have a disease named after you.
Yeah. Or the one where he goes, there's good news and bad news. Okay, what's the bad news? You're going to die within 12 hours. Well, what's the good news? See the receptionist? I'm sleeping with her. That's terrible. Or the one where they go, the doctor and the couple go, and the doctor says, well, bad news, you're going to die within 12 hours. And the woman who's been told this goes, oh, my God, that's terrible. I think what I want to do in my last night on earth, I want to go out, I want to have fun, I want to go see this band, I want to take this drugs, I want to eat this, I want to drink this, and we'll stay out all night. And the husband goes, well, it's all right for you, you don't have to get up in the morning. Classic. Another classic. Doctors just lend themselves to scenarios, but they don't
do.
They?
Well, the doctors do have a sort of a bleak sense of humour because they're dealing.
They do. Yeah,
and they have to get through the. Because they can't become too attached to every case. So they have not a.
Well, imagine being an oncologist.
Oh,
like a cancer specialist. There's a great woman who's written a book. She's Indian Australian. She's on the radio a lot. I can't remember her name, but anyway, we can never remember names on this show. That's not our specialty.
No, we don't do that.
We don't remember names. Yeah. And she said she just sometimes sits in her car and cries after telling, you know, the woman with two kids and the husband sitting there that, you know, the husband's going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. What an awful job.
Having said that, when you can save someone.
Yeah, and deliver
it
the.
It doesn't get any better than.
How often. Do you go to a doctor?
No, I'm not. I'm one of those people that, you know.
You are pretty healthy, though.
I'm pretty healthy, but get a bit.
What?
You know.
Blasé?
No, not blasé. I get I get nervous going to the doctor. I always think they're going to find something.
Oh, you're a bit of a
hypochondriac. And yeah. a bit of a white coat blood pressure guy.
Oh, that's right. Your blood pressure's always high.
Yeah. Yeah, because
so you've got to explain what white coat blood pressure is.
Which is when you see the white coat, you get a little bit anxious.
You get a peak.
Get a peak.
And so they can't actually find out what your genuine blood pressure is.
Yeah, because they can never, unless they, even if they put, I think you
had. I've had that monitor on overnight. You fall asleep half an hour.
No.
Yeah, every half an hour. My dad had one the other night, who's 84. And I said, yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? He goes, yeah, because every...
Waking up every half an hour.
It's awful.
You would think there'd be a better way. But doctors, yeah, the smell, the whole thing. You know what? And I reckon it's from being when you're a kid and you're there and you're in the waiting room. And if you see your parents getting scared, you kind of go, well, that's what you do. You get scared. Whereas really, they're there to help you.
Mm.
And, you know, you should just build a good relationship with your doctor.
How often do you have a blood test?
Every year.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
And if you had any, this happened to me one year, Dr. Kerwin is our doctor, a great doctor. We call him, the kids called him Dr. Curtains for a while because they couldn't say his name, which isn't a great nice. Dr. Curtains.
Yeah.
But he was the one who picked up my daughter's speech, which was actually a hole in the palate that had to be operated on. This is years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so he said when she was like really little, she's not speaking properly. And so we went to speech therapy for ages. Came back and he just went, no, she's still not speaking properly. There's something wrong. And he was the only one who picked it up. The mother knew, Kieran knew, my partner knew.
She could pick up that there was a problem. You couldn't. Yeah,
because if you have a hole in your palate, you'll speak like thought like this. And what would happen in our generation is that you would just go to school speaking like that and then, you know, you would get picked on or whatever and you would adjust.
So she was adjusting, accommodating for the
No, whole. She still sounded like that. So right. With kind of a clip, that sort of voice, like but... That. Yeah, that kind of, because you got a hole in your palate. So anyway, the operator was all successful. But this guy picked it up, which is he's a very good doctor. But he, I get my blood test every year, and you know, because I'm always worried about, because I'm fat, you know.
Of course,
people don't know. Of course, I'm fat.
No, I didn't say because you're fat. Of course, you're worried.
Because you always worry about sugar, you know, sugar levels, blood pressure. What else do they pick up in the? They can pick up cancer too, can't they? In the PT. The PSA, the prostate one, I get that tested.
Yeah.
And he rings up one year, he goes, oh, you've got a bit of a spike in your bone, I don't know how to, bone density or bone. He goes, how do your bones feel? And I'd just broken my leg and I said, you know, I broke my leg that year or the year before and he said, it could be the broken leg. I said, yeah, probably. He goes, don't look. You need to just get tested again. Please don't Google it. Don't Google it. So I get off the phone. Oh, my God. I had all these hideous diseases. Don't. I was going to be in a wheelchair within a month.
Because everything starts with tiredness, lethargy, a little bit of trouble sleeping.
Yes.
I've got all that. Got that.
Changing weight.
Headaches. Oh, got that.
And
dry
of course,
mouth. Yeah, I've got a dry mouth.
I went and had a test a week later, and then I was fine.
Yeah.
I was fine. And so that is always harrowing, though, getting that blood test results, isn't it? Because you ring up the receptionist and she goes, okay, I'm just having a look. David O'Neill? Yes. Clifton Hill? Yes.
But she can't read them.
Yeah.
No.
If they're fine, she reads them. She goes, everything's fine. He's put a note in here saying everything's fine. And then if not, she goes, oh.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
Well, Dr. Kerr wants
hold
to speak
the line.
To, yeah, hold the line.
And you say,
well, I remember one of my friends who was it? Justin Hamilton, the comic, said that he had a doctor rang up and left a message and said, I want to talk to you about your Hep B situation. And he rang back and he said, what's the situation? He goes, oh, you don't have it. Goes, well, that's...
Oh, well, don't leave that
don't
message.
Leave that message, mate. The Hep B situation. You don't have it.
Because I went to a naturopath and she was picking up all sorts of stuff. But then it's great because then you can go ahead and treat it. But she was kind of going, look, your blood tests are classic Western. There's a bit of a rise in your cholesterol.
Ah, she looked at the blood test.
And a bit of a rise in the blood sugar. So those, you know, we need to sort of work on the diet and you need to take these compounds and drink this every morning and hopefully fingers crossed. But I'm sort of
she asked you about erections. I'm still getting over. I've told this story before. I know I have about the naturopath who asked me about erections.
And what happened?
Well, she went through the whole list of like, so how is it, how's your throat
feeling? How hard it is?
No, she said, any problems with your eyes? No, they look good. Any problems with your ear? Your ear's good, yeah. Any problems with erections?
You're going, yeah, a little jump there. You're going, the first part was a ploy.
I'm like, what? Never any problems? Well, how far do you want to go back? That's what I said.
I don't, like, my naturopath is like, I don't know.
Very earthy? Very no, do you go in and get
very normal. She's very down and very healthy looking. You're going, whatever you're taking, yeah. I want some of that. But then you've got to talk about stool samples. Oh, we got your stool. Did you do your stool? Oh, yeah, all right. just say that.
That's right. You've been giving up your stool sample.
Yeah, well, I had to.
Have you done the one for the government? Have you done your government?
I give the government something. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
I keep quoting other comics. This Tony Martin said, I always wanted to send a bit of shit to the government, and now they've done it. Yeah, they've asked me for it.
I've done that one, and I've done one for her as well. Yeah,
the same time, or
all in one go.
It's a sample. It's sample day today, kids.
She did my omega 3s, which was an individual. She just said, take this, prick yourself. And put it on this bit of paper and send it off to the US and they'll do your omega-3s.
Yeah, well, isn't that a health? What is an omega-3?
Omega-3s, like, you know, you get from fish and stuff and whether or not. Oh! Yeah, very good for your heart health. And you really need your omega-3s.
And you, I reckon you'd have good omega-3s.
No, well, eight is good. I'm 6.
Hmm.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but I still, there was some little bit of work to be done, so I'm taking me omegas now. Hey, now, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Doctors and bow ties, what's going on there?
No, that's,
well, mate, surgeons,
I always make the joke, it's obstetricians and gynecologists. Because, yeah, surgeons wear it so the tie doesn't fall in into the operation.
Oh.
The same with people delivering babies and stuff.
The tie doesn't fall
in. Yeah, that's why they wear bow ties. I'm sure that's why they do. Yes.
So it's got to be a practical fall into reason. The wound.
Yep. You got a bow tie, that's not going to... Ties are, you know... They go everywhere.
What's happened to your tie, Dale? doing an appendectomy on the run the other day, and my bloody tie fell into
Gynecologists are full on, though. Not gynecologists, obstetricians, the guys who deliver babies, men and women.
Meaning?
Oh, they're quite intense. We had one, he wouldn't mind saying his name, Lionel Steinberg, South African Jewish guy. And he's quite, what's happening? We're going to deliver a baby. They call him, his nickname is Vaginal Lionel. Because he prefers women to give birth, you know, through the vagina, not Caesar, right?
Yeah.
So he, I said to him one day, "How's it going, Lila? Not great. Hit an argument with my son today. Oh, how old's your son? My son's 19. What happened? Well, at breakfast table, he called his mother, my wife, a bad word. I can't remember what the word was. Mm. So I said, you don't speak to my wife like that. I said, so what did you do, Lionel? Now, this is the hardcore of it. He goes, I went and took the tire off his car, put it in my boot and drove off.
Wow. You will not talk to your mother like that again.
You don't talk to your mother like that. I said, what about the spare? He goes, I took that too.
God.
Hardcore. South African, mate. They don't muck around, eh?
Well, that's interesting you should say that because they've done tests where it all comes down to the bedside manner.
Oh, yeah.
They did a thing, I saw it on Michael Mosley, because, you know, he knows. He's the all-knowing Michael Mosley. And they did acupuncture. And they did acupuncture on some people. None of them had a problem, and the acupuncture wasn't real on both patients, okay? First one, put the thing in with a very pleasant bedside manner. This is going to make you feel better. You're doing really well. A small prick, but that doesn't matter.
So it's like a placebo.
Yeah. And then they do one where it's clinical. Just be quiet, please. I'm going to put this in now. Please, can you not move around?
And we're not actually putting him in.
Well, not putting him in, but the point being, it's comparing bedside manners. And the people with the good healing bedside manner are more prone to healing than a bad bedside manner.
That's interesting.
Doctors can be a little clinical. I've had doctors who go, I had a doctor once, he goes, I go, what's this on my face? And he goes, I don't want to do an Asian accent, okay? But he did say, one of those, maybe they'll take your whole face off. And you're going, don't say take my whole face off. So then they sleep for 3 days thinking I'm going to go to the skin doctor. And they go, oh, that's solar keratosis. Off it comes. Off it comes.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I don't know. They know a lot of stuff, But then there's stuff.
Yeah, but see, that's the whole. When you go to medical school, you don't get taught bedside manner. You know what I mean? You get taught everything else. I don't reckon they do a subject in how to deal with people. Because you remember the guys. Because
socially,
school,
they're not. Often,
no, socially, they're inert. They've
been on the books so much, they haven't been out having fun.
Remember the guys at school who got into medicine? They were often men. There was a few women. Okay, were there any female doctors from my high school? There was definitely some male doctors. And the men that got into it, would you want them treating you? I don't know. Because they weren't that comfortable talking to people.
No.
That's why probably I think women make better doctors.
Oh, I love a woman doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can say that.
You know, of course we can. All.
And what is it with doctors' handwriting? Oh, do you learn always, to not write properly?
Yeah. Well, again, I don't think they do that at school.
So they write in a way that, what, is illegible, but and the magic chemist man can read it?
But it's like when we were at teachers' college, we didn't do a subject on controlling the class, did we?
That's true.
It was just expected. You just did English, maths, music, drama, whatever. Mm. There was no 101 subject on how to control a class.
The psychology of gaining control or gaining attention.
They should do that. Maybe they do it now. I mean, we went a long time ago. In the 80s.
And they should speak to someone like you. Of all people, bring in Dave O'Neill as a third year class. Yeah. How you pull the focus in?
Yeah, but even some gigs. I did a gig on Saturday night for landscape gardeners. People standing around. I said to the guy, "You got to get them all to come down to the one area." Most of them came down, except the 18-year-old labourers. Now they're the ones you got to worry about, because the middle-aged people our age,
they will come down.
They behave themselves. Mm. It's the young blokes that.
And you never got them down?
They came down a little bit, but as the boss guy said, didn't they all went back up?
Yeah.
A little bit insecure. They just drifted back up. Well, talk to their mates, have drinks and stuff.
What were they drinking? Chocolate milk?
No, they were drinking beer or whatever, alcohol. They had a lot of fun. But
I was in the supermarket yesterday, and there was a tradie there, and just a case of Coke.
Case of Coke?
Yep. Taking it back to the site. But you're going, well, you're working hard all day. You're going to burn that Coke off. You're going to burn off that sugar, that artificial sugar or whatever.
It's true.
I know I was in the hospital the other day visiting someone, and I always reckon if just say you got a nice pair of pants on, normal shirt, you walk through the door, you're a normal guy. Or if you put a stethoscope, just hang it around your shoulders.
Oh, yeah, you can go anywhere.
You can do anything.
I know.
You could walk into any room. You could walk into...
Hospitals have amazing access, don't they?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I reckon when you put the stethoscope around your neck, you go, yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It feels good when you
There is that TV series about the girl, and there's a movie about the guy. They both fake being doctors, which is...
Well, Eric Banner's show,
Dr. John. Yeah, Dirty John.
He used to wear the scrubs to work every morning.
I know, and then wear it out to like restaurants and stuff. He was a bad man. Not Eric.
Doctors. The guy. Well, look, to be honest, they're at the coalface. Yeah. They are dealing with the pain, and there's a lot of, people doing it hard. And they're ones that can alleviate some of that pain. And they're at the front line. They're like police. They're like nurses. They do a great job. We dips our lid to what they do, because I'm sure they go always 90% of the time they would go above and beyond, and they would take the time to make people feel better.
Hmm.
Sometimes, I mean, if you were a doctor and someone was annoying you, you'd probably go,
it's so annoying.
You just go, I can't help you today. So,
it's also those people that will come back all the time, like you, just keep coming back, here he comes again with another problem. I've got a lump on my neck. It's just a pimple.
I think I said this before. I was at the skin doctor the other day. And the very thing that you shouldn't put on the wall at the skin doctor is all the bad skin cancers.
Oh, yeah, they've got them. They've got
this chart.
Yeah.
And they're going, if you've got this, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's the point of that? I'm here. I'm about to get them checked.
Yeah.
A bit late now, telling me now. Mm. Oh, by the way, I've got number 3 up on the wall. No.
It's tough.
Just put some dogs, kittens wrestling on the wall.
A monkey hanging off a branch.
A scab. It's a picture of scabs.
Yeah, I know.
That's
awful.
What it is.
Let's move on to video games.
I'm a...
You're pinball, aren't you?
I'm a pinball guy.
Yeah.
I used to start playing pinball at the fish and chip shop.
Mm.
While the fish and chips were being made, we would share a flipper.
Oh, share a flipper?
Yeah, it was like 20 cents, one flipper each.
How many balls?
Three balls.
No, five.
No, three.
Would have been five back then, surely.
Is it five now?
Yeah, it's always five. It's always been five.
No, it's three.
Really?
That's interesting.
My kids were playing a pinball machine the other day. Nick, one of our neighbours, has got a great pinball, a Star Wars pinball.
At his home?
Yeah, in his shed.
Oh.
It's incredible.
Duck, 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 duck.
And it, you know, R2-D2 talks and everything. The kids loved it. And I was loving it because we used to go down to the bowling alley and play a pinball machine. And then there was the rare incident where Noddy, one of our mates, he got a key.
Yeah.
He got the key to the pinball machine. You remember that key? That's how he could open up the pinballs and press the free button.
So he would open it up and he'd just rack up a few credits.
Oh, man. That was great. Oh, yeah.
That's heaven.
That was great when he had that key.
When how he got the key.
But I remember when video games got introduced because slowly the pinballs still existed, but you had the Space Invaders machine.
Well, that was the crossover period.
Asteroids, Galaga, Frogger. They were all the early ones that I loved. And then the pinballs we had. What pinball machines do we have? Gilligan's Island, Playboy, Fishtails.
Wow.
Oh, I remember. And we used to go to, even in our 20s, we'd go to the hotels.
How much for a go?
20 cents. Always 20 cents. But then it moved to a dollar.
Yeah.
So then we would go to hotels like the Espy in St Kilda had a pinball room.
Yeah.
Just go out there and play pinball. It's great fun.
Remember if you bang it, you tilt it?
Oh, yeah. Don't tilt it, man.
Oh, you tilted the machine.
Oh, it's gone down the guts. That means it goes down the middle. It's gone down the guts. And there was always a kid at school who would go to the bowling alley or the pizza shop and just be so good at it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like a champion.
And the ball would come down and they'd hold it.
And they'd have
a drag and a cigarette.
Bang.
Yeah, and they go, foot pop. And he's way again, right up the top. Oh, who is that guy?
When I first moved into a shared house in 85, was it? End of 85, we had a pinball machine because this guy collected them and needed somewhere to.
You'd never leave that.
Well, that's what, again, Noddy, the only one who had a job, he said, when I left this morning, you were in your pajamas playing pinball. When I came home from work, you were in your pajamas playing pinball. So it was addictive. It was great.
Especially when it get up around the top and it would get caught and go, bada 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 bada.
Oh, yeah.
Thwack, thwack, ding, ding. Specials are up. Specials are up.
Multi-ball too. Yeah. Multi-ball.
Oh, multi-ball was fantastic. See, the thing about that is it's real, as in you're not watching a screen being
removed. Yeah, yeah.
And there's a ball rolling around.
Fantastic.
And you're participating directly.
Ooh.
And it's not like you're doing something in terms of timing. You're doing something in terms of...
There's skill involved. But as my teenage son will tell us, there's skill involved in video games too. Video games.
Well, it's an international sport now where you can win
e-games.
Massive amount of money.
Esports.
There are esports kids who... See, I can't play the new game. It gives me a neck ache.
Yeah, I don't...
You've got to get too tense.
We don't have any computer games in the house. We don't have a PlayStation or anything, which is my teenage son argues every day, I reckon, for a PlayStation or a Wii or whatever, but my partner's very against it. So we go to your friend's house.
That's a good idea. That's a good decision.
Yeah, well, and we all know people in their 20s have just wasted their life playing computer games.
Well, there was that terrible story about that.
Sitting in the beanbag.
The fires. Had the headphones on, curtains down.
Oh, really?
And he didn't know what was going on because he was so entrenched in the game.
Oh, that's how he died?
Yeah.
Was that the recent fires?
Oh, the what's the name one?
Black Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Well, I
get it, though, because they are fun. You go into another world and, you know, it's good fun.
Oh, there's no doubt, especially if there's a storyline or something. Mm. But I always maintain it's the same thing. It's where – I remember the first one I played was James Bond, and James would run. Yeah. Then he'd pick up his gun and go – and then he'd do 360 with his gun, and then he'd climb – and then he'd jump, and that's kind of all he did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, let's say that. Okay, he could kick and punch a little bit as well. But it was kind of like nothing's really – and they really just do the same thing now. They really – they go into a room, they shoot everyone.
Yeah. But there are ones where, like now with – what's the one that all the kids play? There's Minecraft and there's Fortnite. And they have all these articles in the paper where kids are wearing, like, headphones like I'm wearing now – with like a microphone.
And it's all and they're talking the world.
Yeah, they're all around the world and they're playing with their friends and the parents go, oh, it's a great social activity. Is it really though?
No, it's not. It's not.
Is it? I don't think it is.
They're talking to each
but
other.
But they set up tribes and the tribes fight against each other and stuff. That's how it works. So you got to do all that stuff too.
I just think like anything, I mean, a little bit of it's great, but a lot of it's not good. Because it's got to change your neuroplasticity. It's got to change your path.
Mm.
I mean, some people say it has nothing to do with what people end up. If you've got some sort of issue, mental issue, you would you have to wonder whether it exacerbated.
Oh yeah, I hate those cases where. Remember there was that case in America where they took Judas Priest, the heavy metal band, to court because these guys did a dual suicide because they'd been listening to Judas Priest records and they went out and shot each other, but one survived.
Mm.
It was hideous. And they did a documentary about it. It was a fascinating documentary. Mm. And then the guy later died from injuries because his face was sort of blown off. He looked like a shotgun victim. And, they were suing Judas Priest. It's like, no, hang on a minute. You can't blame the musician or the video game maker for that person's got something wrong with them anyway.
Yeah.
If they're watching video games or listening to heavy metal and they go and kill people, that's not the fault of the.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the fault of the video game.
Well, as kids, we would
we'd all watch war movies.
Cowboys and Indians. You would shoot people in the backyard with your.
Yeah.
You'd get cap guns and you'd get bow and arrow and you'd shoot. People with bar- and it's like, well, but I never went on to wanting to shoot people.
No, that's right. You know. That's right.
So,
you know what I saw the other day? I saw some clay pigeon shooting up in Queensland. Gee, it looked fun. I remember doing it in Scouts. Pull!
So,
that'd be better than video games.
It's a shotgun, isn't it?
Yeah, and you shoot
it. So, you're shooting in the area. You can have broader shotgun and you can have more specific.
Broad range, broad bit of a spread.
You wouldn't miss it if it was all, but then you wouldn't get there if it was too far spread.
Yeah, true.
But
I haven't played a video game for a long time. We were actually in J-Car the other day. You know J-Car? It's replaced Tandy Electronics and Dick Smith.
If you want a knob for something or a wire for something,
go to J-Car.
Yep.
And they had an Asterix video game there, which I like it. You know, Asterix the comic with the gall and
that's the old one, isn't it?
Asterix from a long time ago, but they had him in a new, modern video game, which looked like fun because he was punching off the Romans and...
What was the first one? Tennis?
Pong.
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 And am I right in saying they used to be like a coffee table?
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, originally Pong was just introduced onto TVs, I think.
Oh, right.
And then you would go to like the... pizza shop or the fish and chip shop, and they'd have a sit-down coffee table one.
Yeah.
That's also, they had Space Invaders, Frogger, Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And now you can still buy them. You can buy them for your home. Again, one of my friends has got one, and you can play Galaga or some of the early ones were great. But now, and Asteroids was another one too, early one.
Where they brrr,
But see, we had to, I mean, I do stand about this. If I wanted to play video games, in our generation, we had to get off our asses and ride our bikes down to the video to like Time Zone. Remember Time Zone?
Yep.
I saw a Time Zone.
And you're walking there with this the cacophony of
noise.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding. I saw a Time Zone the other day in a country town. Might have been Kalgoorlie or somewhere. There was still a Time Zone. So you go to Time Zone and you'd go there and you'd play the video games. But it cost money too.
There must be a lot of those machines, like you said before, there must be a lot of those machines still out there.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can pick them up online on eBay or something and have them in your... But I really wonder whether I'd you know...
Would you play it very often?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. Same friend of mine got a sauna in his backyard the other day.
Oh, really?
Infrared sauna.
Ooh.
And I thought, well, I might do that. But then I thought, I'd probably use it for a couple of months and then just sit out there and it'd
get
a bit dusty and, you know.
Yeah. You start storing stuff in it.
Yeah.
The lawnmower can go in there.
So.
Video games. It's certainly something that has, in the last 20 years, become a massive industry and a massive thing for young people, video games.
I mean, I reckon.
It's like a just, you know how we would go home and watch TV.
Or we'd go out and play in the street.
Yeah, now it's all about
screens.
The streets
are empty now. Yeah. It's all about screens. It's all about you go inside and what did you do on your holidays? You go in to visit a friend. Where are your kids? Oh, he's up in his room. He's been playing thing for the last 4 hours with some guy in Chicago or something, you know. You go, what?
Doesn't happen at our house.
No. Your kids are great. I go around, they're all reading books.
Yeah, well, they're forced to because they've got no video
games.
Yeah,
they still love it, though.
They love books, yeah. Books are good.
Do they have a secret desire to be out doing something like a pinball machine?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They're always trying to work out ways to get on a screen. You know what I mean?
So like, they have internet only for
for just schoolwork and stuff. But they do stuff like watch YouTube videos or watch TV shows or do animation, which is good because at least that's a bit creative, you know.
Your kids are delightful.
No, you haven't. You don't live with them.
But if they weren't being not delightful, they're not growing up. They've got to be a little. They've got to push the edges. Exactly. They've got to jump out of the nest and have a crack. Doctors, video games.
All right. Well, what
I've got. I'm getting an inkling.
You got a bit of a feeling.
Yeah. You want what?
Let's have some thinking music.
You know what I'd like to hear? I'd like to hear an old fashioned pinball machine.
You can get a ring on your phone, the pinball ring.
Just going off with all
going off.
Yeah, just with all the noises and the bells and whistles and the thwacks and the thocks. Can we hear a bit of that?
Let's hear some. Felt like I was back there in the fish and chip shop.
Because, there was a stance that you would have.
Like it's quite sexual for a young man. You're like, bang,
and then they would actually do a little thrust with the hips as they're doing the flipper.
That's right.
And bang. And then sometimes they'd catch it on the end and then just drop it back down to the thing. But then if they missed it, they'd bang the glass so hard.
Oh, I know.
You think, mate. And the guy, mate.
Hey,
easy.
It was like everyone when their kid wanted to get a job at Time Zone as a guy behind the counter. Like, oh, that's such a cool job. Now you think back now, was it a cool job?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Not really.
Doctors, video
games. What is the connection between doctors and video games?
Oh, I'm going to have a crack.
Go on, have a crack.
I'm going to say that the way they've developed video games has enabled them to do a lot of the robotic medicine that they do these days, because now you can be operated on by a machine.
Yeah, by a robot.
I wouldn't want that to happen.
Oh, but you can go into the self server Coles, buy your groceries, and then get your hemorrhoids checked. It's awesome. Blip. Well, I'm going to say that doctors have a high percentage of video game addiction, because I think that because
they have that sort of mind.
Well, yeah, when I did a gig for surgeons, they were all playing. This guy was playing a viola when I walked in. I'm like, "Why? Who's playing the viola? Oh, he's a surgeon." And doctors.
He wasn't chatting. He was playing a viola.
He was playing a viola as you walked in. And so doctors, they were telling me that there's all these orchestras full of doctors. They have doctors' orchestras because they all love playing musical instruments because it's that obsessive.
Yeah.
Skill.
Well, they need to be sort of using hand eye all the time to sort of.
So maybe not, instead of playing in orchestras now, they're all video game addicted. Maybe they're going home and playing a bit of Fortnite.
I always maintain if you saw someone, I had to pick someone up off a ferry once, and three people got off. And the one that was on his phone looked a bit stressed. There was another kid who was playing a video game on an iPad.
Yeah.
And there was my friend who walked out with a book in his hand. And the guy with the book looked a lot more relaxed than everybody else.
You got to wonder
about the stress factor.
Oh, yeah, it's no good.
But people like that will maintain that relaxation to them because it takes their mind to another place because their mind is so switched on and problem solving. It doesn't want to – well, it wants to do some simple problem solving that's not, life or death. Life or death. So anyway, we've had a crack. What is the answer?
Surgeons and triage doctors performed their duties better after playing video games that related to their profession. Research found this in recent studies where games were played by doctors on iPhones and other mobile devices.
Wow, there we go. Well, I was not right, but close.
Close.
But
that's why they're I wonder if they know that.
So is that they're playing. They're getting their skills up in small moves, is it? Like hand move, hand eye?
I just think they're keeping that part of their brain nimble.
Yeah.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Then their problem-solving brain nimble, so they go, here comes an asteroid. Like that's like something wrong, like a blood disease. I'm going to shoot the blood, shoot that down, and then wait for another. And I'll put that over there just in case that happens. So it just keeps their brain active. That would be interesting, if you were a doctor. Like, when you do stand up, you do it five times, six times a week.
Yeah.
Then you go away for a month overseas.
Yeah, break.
When you come back, you go a bit rusty, don't you?
Oh, definitely a bit rusty. Sorry, I'm opening the door because it's hot in here.
It's bloody hot in here. And so imagine if you're a doctor.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't want to be first on that schedule, would you?
First one in the morning. Oh, just make it.
Sorry, Glenn. I've had a bit of a break. I've been at surfers.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know what that little rash is. Seriously, it could be something bad, or it could be something quite innocent. I don't know.
Taking it up the next level, being a surgeon, having 6 weeks off, and then coming back.
A surgeon, your hands are a bit wobbly. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, I've forgotten I booked this one in. This is a tricky one.
That'd be tough, wouldn't it?
Because you can't go and like with you know, you can go and work in a small room or something, or you can go and whatever.
Yeah,
you
just
can
have build up to.
Yeah, or if you're like a sportsman, you can go into the nets, so you can go and hit a ball.
Yeah.
You can go and. But you're a surgeon. Did you know that?
Maybe they go to country practices or something where they're really in demand. Or something.
I learned this the other day that they often cut with a laser, they don't cut with a knife.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, because there's less bleeding or something with a laser.
It's a bit of a cop-out.
It's a cop-out.
Yeah, it's a cop-out.
Yeah, I want old school. You know.
You want the knife, you want the scalpel, that kind of stuff. Of course, you know, the olden days, barbers used to do surgery, and that's why...
What? Hang on.
You know what? This? Do you know this? Yeah, they used to get barbers to do the cutting because they were good at cutting and using knives and scissors. And so, you know, the red and white pole at the barber... That used to be used for advertised surgery. That's why it's red and white, because it's blood.
That's a somehow related.
Somehow related right there. Why? Oh, we should have done it. Oh, well, next
time. So next time you're at your doctor and you say, I'm going to do some tests, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, or I'm going to stitch up your wound, you're going to say to him, yeah.
When was your last holiday?
No, when was your last time you played some video games?
Oh, yes.
Because if you haven't been playing your video games, I would like a second opinion.
Exactly. Or when was your last holiday? And did you play video games during your holiday?
Well, if you play video games on your holiday, I'm happy with that. If you've been away and you haven't played video games, look, who's someone who's been doing it for a bit longer?
Yeah.
It's
that guy next door with the Game Boy. I'll get him to do it.
Lancing a boil would be pretty easy.
Oh, yeah. But see, sometimes now, we had to go to the doctors the other day because my son fell over at school and got a cut, and they get the nurse to do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Surgical, not minor.
It was a cut. It didn't need a stitch.
Yeah, it didn't need a stitch. So the nurse just comes and does it. And also, I said, I remember coming in here when I had my ears emptied. Have you ever had that done?
No.
Where they stick a liquid into your ears?
Get the wax out.
Oh, man.
Satisfying?
Hurtful. Yeah.
Satisfying.
But it feels like you're.
It's going into your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the whole room starts moving. You're like, oh, it's like vertigo.
Were you going lying down?
Yeah, they do. Oh, sitting up. You have to do it when you're sitting up, by memory.
And what was the colour that came out?
Oh, yeah. The woman said it's really satisfying to see all this muck that comes out, but it's quite disgusting too. Oh, brown.
Brown. Poor old ears.
I know. There's
a lot of crap going in there.
Imagine being Mickey Mouse with those big ears.
I reckon at university they should learn, you know, anatomy, they should learn the biology, everything, and they should learn video games.
Video games. They're probably all playing them anyway.
You could probably do it on a video game. You could probably do surgery on a video game.
Oh, you probably can.
Because you can fly a plane. Why couldn't you do surgery?
Yeah.
Because there used to be that board game, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. We've got it at home.
What was it?
And it's got the guy with the red nose. And if you don't pick up the kidneys with the tweezers, he dies.
If you touch the edges, then he dies. You lost. You killed the patient.
Yeah, we had a Homer Simpson one for a while. And then someone gave us like an R2-D2 one, a Star Wars one. What is it called? Surgery? Operation.
Operation.
Operation. Yeah. Oh, finally came. Finally we remembered something. Nextdoor.com.au, they're sponsors of ours, and you've just got to go to the website, and it's a great way to connect with your neighbours.
Well, you just keep in contact, you're relevant to things that you might be doing or ways that you can help each other, and therefore you put it on the website.
Yeah.
And then people know each other and what they're up to. Hey, Dave. Yes, Glenn. I need my dog minded. No problem at all. Drop it over. Oh, hey, Glenn. We need some board games. Oh, we've got plenty of board games. We'll drop them over at your place.
Nextdoor.com.au.